Earth Sky.
Welcome to Earth Sky 22, 22 minutes of science interviews and great music from Austin, Texas. I'm Jorge Salazar. This week, celebrating the December solstice. What archaeology says about Mayan prophecies of year 2012, and more. Here's a scientist soundbite.
2012 is a phenomena that came about through different kinds of grassroots spiritual movements and some interpretation of Maya writing that happened prior to really understanding what the glyphs were saying.
That was Catherine Reese-Taylor, a professor of Maya archaeology. More with her later, but first, here is Science News of the Week with Emily Howard and Michael Brennan.
Scientists working with the Large Hadron Collider in Geneva announced on December 13th that they've found hopeful signs of the Higgs boson, also known as the God particle. It is a hypothetical subatomic particle that could explain how the universe gets its mass. Two independent experiments with the Large Hadron Collider both found signs of the Higgs boson particle. Scientists say they need more data to confirm it, and that the confirmation might come as soon as 2012.
On December 15th, NASA announced a new candidate for the smallest known black hole. The evidence comes from a specific type of X-ray pattern, nicknamed a heartbeat because of its resemblance to an electrocardiogram. Until now, this pattern has been recorded in only one other black hole system. This object appears to be less than 3 times the mass of our Sun. It's very near the theoretical minimum in mass for black holes.
In less than 1 year, an elephant seal nicknamed Jackson traveled an astonishing 18,000 miles, the equivalent of New York City to Sydney, Australia, and back again. The Wildlife Conservation Society tracked the male seal from December 2010 to November 2011. They used a small satellite transmitter to chart his progress. The goal was to understand elephant seal migratory routes in the ocean.
And speaking of traveling, as of this week, NASA's Curiosity rover has traveled roughly 32 million miles of its 352 million mile trip to Mars. That's almost 1.8 million miles per day. Curiosity launched on November 26, 2011. It has already begun analyzing radiation in space in order to assess how it would affect astronauts en route to the red planet. The rover and its 10 science instruments are expected to reach Mars on August 6, 2012. I'm Michael Brennan.
And I'm Emily Howard. We've got some great science interviews coming. But first, let's listen to this week's Song of the Week, Big Coat by Austin-based band Wiretree.
You know that no one ever goes. Keeping a cycle when she always stays closed. I need a knack for keeping out of trouble. You know how it can go. I don't know what I'm like, but everybody says you're not the kind that gets out of your head. I keep talking all these crazy, clumsy words.
Thank you.
We're Earth Sky, broadcast on over 1,200 stations worldwide, including Voice of America. Deborah Bird joins us now with news of the global night sky, the seasonal solstice. Welcome, Deborah.
Hi, Jorge. Well, the solstice is coming up, and I love the solstice in the Northern Hemisphere because it's the solstice that indicates we will be having the shortest day and longest night of the year. And after that, the days will start getting longer again, and that's always great.
Deborah, when is the solstice?
The solstice is happening this year on, it usually happens between December 21st and December 23rd, somewhere around in there. In 2011, the solstice comes on December 22nd at 5:30 UTC. So that's universal time. That's the time in Greenwich, England. And so if you're in, say, the United States and say you're using Central Standard Time, that would be 11:30 p.m. on the night before December 21st. So you might see either one of those dates, December 21st or December 22nd, as the date of the 2011 December solstice.
The solstice is known as the day that the sun stands still, in a sense. Deborah, what is the solstice exactly?
Well, it's a cool event because, of course, Earth is orbiting around the sun, and the Earth tilts on its axis by 23.5 degrees. And as we go around the sun, the northern and southern hemispheres trade places in receiving the most direct rays of the sun's light. So what happens is that there's always a point every year where we see the sun come to its lowest point in our sky. And if you're in the northern hemisphere, that's the southern sky. If you're in the southern hemisphere, that's the northern sky. So for us in the northern hemisphere, the sun on this December solstice is going to be at its southernmost point in the sky. And, you know, you see the sun go from east to west every day throughout the day. And you notice at this time of year that the sun's path is getting lower and lower and lower. But on the solstice, that stops. And the sun's path will start shifting higher and higher and higher, bringing the longer days and warmer weather and all that good stuff that I like.
All right. And all around the world, people know it as a day that marks the seasons. What would you say is a great way to celebrate the solstice?
Well, you know, we at Earth Sky have been putting together an image gallery on Stonehenge, and that should be up, by the time you hear this, that image gallery should be up. So come to Earth Sky and search for Stonehenge and look at all the amazing pictures of Stonehenge. So in ancient times, people were very aware of these cycles of the sun. And Stonehenge is an example of a place where apparently, of course, there's a lot of mystery surrounding Stonehenge, but apparently the ancient people who built it 2,000 to 3,000 years ago, or actually I think it took them like 1,000 years to build the whole thing because they had to haul huge rocks and so on, they lined it up so that it's, you know, lined up precisely with certain astronomical events, one of which is the winter solstice. So on the winter solstice, if you were at Stonehenge, you would see the sun go down between these three rocks, two of which are standing vertically and another line on top of them. And you would see the winter solstice sunset being marked in that way. So that's one of the ways that people throughout the world have always known about and indicated where the solstices are, by rock formations. Machu Picchu is another example of that. If you're at Machu Picchu, you go inside this cave and you can see a place along the horizon. I don't remember if it's the summer or the winter solstice, but one of the solstices is marked on that horizon. And so that was a very common thing that ancient people did because, of course, the sun is so important to all of us. And it was even more important to people in ancient times before the advent of electric lights.
The solstice is a great event for sky watchers everywhere.
Yeah, actually, there's going to be an event at this solstice that is an event that sky watchers can participate in. And that is that the planet Mercury on December 22nd, which is either the morning after the solstice or the morning of the solstice, depending on where you are in the globe, the planet Mercury is going to be right next to the moon. So you would be looking in the eastern sky on December 22nd before the sun comes up, and that bright object next to the moon is the planet Mercury.
Thanks, Deborah.
Thank you, Jorge.
Happy solstice, by the way.
Hey, same to you.
Earth Sky's Deborah Bird, and we're Earth Sky, a clear voice for science. We'll be right back. We'd love to hear from you on Facebook. Tell us where you're from. Find us as Earth Sky. The year 2012 has become a phenomenon of sorts, with widely circulated doomsday prophecies, supposedly coming from writings made by ancient Mayan people who lived in what's now Mexico and Central America. On the line to talk about 2012 doomsday prophecies and what archaeologists know is Catherine Rees-Taylor, professor of Mayan archaeology at the University of Calgary in Canada. Dr. Rees-Taylor, welcome.
Thank you.
Now tell us some, what are the important facts that people should know about 2012 and the Mayan calendar?
Well, I think that what people should know about 2012 is that it is a date that is basically something that we created in the West, that the Maya did not predict the end of the world or even a huge transformation in the way that we're conceiving of it today. 2012 is a phenomena that came about through different kinds of grassroots spiritual movements and some interpretation of Maya writing that happened prior to really understanding what the glyphs were saying. It's an interesting phenomena, but there is no archaeological basis for this phenomena, and the Maya calendar does not really predict it ending in 2012.
Many people seem to be pointing to an ancient carving called the Tortuguero Monument 6 as being a source of prophecies about this this year that supposedly has a lot of significance, 2012. Tell us more about this carving. What do scientists know about it, and what does it say?
Tortuguero Monument 6 is a monument that was carved during the late Classic period, which is from approximately 600 to 800 AD, and the monument has probably around 80 glyphs, 80 different phrases or words or sentences on the monument. So it's quite a long inscription. The very final 8 glyphs of the monument literally are the only ones that deal with the future date, 2012, in any real way. Of the hundreds of inscriptions that we have from the Maya area, those particular glyphs say that this date, which happens to be a date in the Maya long count, 13000, will happen. And on that day, this particular deity will descend, because he is the patron deity of something called period endings. Period endings are long cycles of time that end. So the Maya have a Catun, which is 20 years and is kind of like our decade, and they certainly have these 400-year periods, of which one is ending on December 21st, 2012. And this patron deity is going to descend because he is the patron deity that's going to oversee all the ceremonies that happen on this particular day. That is all that the Maya say about 2012 on December 21st.
Did you leave out the part about the end of the world?
No, because they actually didn't say that. Nowhere did the Maya say at any point in time that the world will end. They don't even say that their calendar will end and that it's going to restart. The Maya and many inscriptions talk about dates far into the future. They have a date that is at 4772 AD, more than twice as far ahead of us as 2012 is from our year one. So they have long, long periods of time in the future, and they do not conceive of the world ending or even the calendar restarting at that time. So the Maya really didn't concern themselves with this date nearly as much as we do now in the 21st century. I have run across different religious leaders in the Maya area who believe that aliens are going to return, that there are going to be people from the Pleiades coming back, and that they are going to help us, enlighten us, and elevate us to a new level of consciousness. I don't think there's anything wrong with elevating the consciousness of the planet, but I do think that there is some kind of dangers in projecting this notion of aliens returning, asteroids returning and hitting the Earth. So I think it's important for science to clearly speak up and say, there are no asteroids headed for the Earth. There is no Jupiter-sized planet that is hurtling towards us. We have way bigger things to worry about with what we're doing to the planet than to be scared of any of these doomsday prophecies coming true.
You've been listening to archaeologist Dr. Catherine Rees-Taylor of the University of Calgary in Canada. And that's our show. Thank you for joining us. This week's show was recorded at the Earth Sky Studios in Austin, Texas, live music capital of the world. Our producer is Michael Brennan. Executive producers are Peter Zandan, Ryan Britton, and Deborah Bird. Our audio engineer is Eddie Campos. And special thanks this week to our musical contributors, Mother Falcon, Sleep Good, Dana Falconberry, 100 Flowers, and The Black and White Years. For more information on the science and the music you heard this week, visit our website at earthsky.org. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
There are too many artists, too much art, and not enough genius, I believe. Science is the art of the next stage. There are so many artists, too much heart, and not enough reason, I'm afraid. Silence is the song of the next stage. But what we don't know won't hurt us. What we don't know won't keep us up at night. What we don't know won't hurt us. But we don't know, but we don't know, but we don't. What you don't know won't hurt ya. What you don't know won't end is there a fight. What you don't know won't hurt ya. But you don't know, but you don't know, but you don't. The art of the next stage. But you won't know, but you won't know, but you won't know. But we don't know.